at times we fear and worry over things that not knowing how to fix something. But we should go to God for the answers. If we'd start in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or what your body, about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you are worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient for the day of its own trouble. And also Matthew 10, verses 28 through 31. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. When the Bible says to fear God, it is usually referring to reverence and awe. Many people in the Bible show faith kept them from their fear that they would have been normal, fear normally under the circumstances. I mean, let's look at Abraham, sacrifice of Isaac. Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also raised him in a figurative sense. And look at David and Goliath. Goliath was a giant champion of the Philistines. 1 Samuel 10:8, then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel, and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servant of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day to give me a man, that we may fight together. Then Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Then David was sent to carry provisions to his brothers and report back to their father about their well-being. And then dropping down to verse 23, where David arrives with his brothers and hears Goliath, Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who comes up? Who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, give his father's house, exemption from taxes in Israel." Next, in verse 32, David lets Saul know he is unafraid. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight against this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight him with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. When it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." And we all know the end of the story, how God gave young David victory over the giant Goliath. Now we'll look at Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings 6, and starting in verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered and said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray that you open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike the people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. And then we can look at another one of where they should have been terribly afraid, but they had trust in God. And that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, at the time of the captivity of Judah, came, built an enormous statue made of gold, and commanded that everyone should fall down and worship this idol or be cast into a fiery furnace. Three young Jews stood firm in their faith without fear. We'll turn to Daniel 3, verse 8. Daniel 3, verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music shall sit down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. There are certain Jews among you who have said over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. And Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time that you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If that was the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it usually is heated. And he commanded certain men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, before the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished as he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, True, O king. In verse 25, he said, Look, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth looks like the Son of God. In the New Testament, the apostles did not stop preaching the name of Jesus in Acts 5:40-41, but saw their threats and persecution as a badge of honor. We will turn there to read these verses, verse 40. And they agreed with him. When they called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. It had been written down that all the examples in the Bible were recorded for us at the end of the age of man. We're already ridiculed for keeping the Sabbath, the holy days. and avoiding all the pagan days. But it's going to be getting much worse. We might have to stand before judges to explain ourselves, but we need not to fear knowing that God will be there with us. The worst they can do is take our life, but they cannot take our salvation. So fear not. God has shown that He is faithful and will stand with us.